In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, because they shall receive mercy." He also says, "Forgive, that you may be forgiven." Mercy and forgiveness are almost interchangeable in Greek and Hebrew. But in English, I think forgiveness is rather narrower and rather more personal. We can be merciful to people in general, but forgiveness is usually about being merciful to people who have hurt us. And that's what I particularly want to talk about. Because I think personal forgiveness is the hardest kind of mercy. I can think of two people in my life that for years I have struggled to forgive, and I haven't succeeded yet. Oh, I forgive them in theory. I can tell myself I've forgiven them. I can put them out of my mind for months. But then something happens. I see them again, or something gets said, or something gets remembered, and I realize I'm back at square one. Anger, resentment, the will to get your own back are all still there. And I start wondering if I'll ever really forgive. It seems so hard to do, and it seems to take so long. And I wonder if when I die, those two people will be waiting for me at the pearly gates. I seriously suspect they may be, because Jesus is so clear about this. He says it again and again. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Unless you forgive everyone, whatever they have done to you, unless you accept and love everyone as God loves and accepts you, then you can't be fully united with God's love, which is what heaven is. Now, I can tell you, the thought of having to be close to those two people in heaven or anywhere else makes my stomach churn, because I can't stand them. Now, I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed of it, but it's a fact. Yet I know deep down that whether it's in this life or the next, my relationship with them will have to be sorted out. Because as long as our hearts are closed to any others, they will be partly closed against receiving God's mercy for ourselves. If we continue to hate, if we say in the end, "No, my anger, my resentment are part of me, I won't let them go," then what we are choosing is hell. We can't have heaven and our hatred too. We have to let it go. My two people are people that, thank God, I don't have to live with. I think it's even harder to forgive people when you're close to them the whole time. C.S. Lewis once wrote this: "It's hard enough to forgive one single injury that remains embedded in your memory, but to forgive the incessant provocations of daily life, to keep on forgiving the bossy mother, the bullying husband, the nagging wife, the selfish daughter, the deceitful son. How on earth do we do that?" And I'm sure Lewis is right. We talk about crime and violence on the streets, but the vast majority of murders and hate crimes take place in the home. Home is where the heart is, we say, but home is also where the hurt is. The most passionate resentment, is usually between people who are very close and who may basically still love one another. Yet for some reason or another, the power of love has turned into the power of jealousy or anger or revenge. For very many Christians, the hardest place to be Christian is home. I was fascinated by a television program that I saw recently, which was looking at maladjusted children in their family context. A psychologist moved in with various families to try and analyze all the feelings that were going on underneath the surface. There were fathers who wanted to show affection to their wives and children, but just didn't know how to do it. There were wives who felt they were just housework machines and that they had no interest or respect in their own eyes, let alone their husbands. There were kids who were ignored or bored or angry about their parents, so they were sullen and rebellious and unmanageable. In all these different ways, the idea of the happy family had turned into a sort of nightmare gridlock of resentment and frustration. And the one thing that seemed to work was the psychologist getting them to talk about their own feelings. First of all, to him, and then, much harder, to one another. That was the first step, learning how to recognize and express feelings. And then the second step was learning how to listen. Instead of always slipping back into the same old groove of how you usually react, trying instead to imagine what it's like to be the other person, and then trying to respond to that. It was incredibly moving to see this poor dad struggling to say the words, "I love you," to his horrible, pimply lout of a son, or the miserable, feckless daughter with a safety pin through her nose, trying to take her handicapped mother on a day out. Slowly and painfully, over a long period, they learned to imagine and communicate, and it did seem to work. But unfortunately, we can't all have a TV psychologist in the living room. What we can do, though, is to try to apply the same principles in our own relationships, and especially with the people we need to forgive. If someone has hurt us, even if we can't speak to them, the first thing we must do is pray for them. Not for a lightning bolt to strike them down, but to be able to understand why they are as they are and have done what they've done. To imagine what crosses they might bear, which might make them seem difficult or warped or nasty. There's a French proverb which says, to understand all is to forgive all. And certainly understanding helps. The other thing we can try to do is to remember how much we need mercy ourselves. If we are so cut up about something somebody else has done, are we so sure we've never done the same thing or at least thought about it? If I think about my two horrible people and imagine myself in their circumstances, and if I then think about some of the meaner things that I've done in my time, I can start realizing perhaps I'm not that different myself. And in fact, if I'm really honest, I realize that the things I most hate in them are the possibilities that I most hate and fear in me. Because it's one of the ugly features of human beings that the things we find hardest to accept in other people are often secretly the things we find hardest to accept in ourselves. But at the end of the day, even if we've done all we can, if we've prayed for them and tried to imagine ourselves in their place and tried to remember our own faults, it may still not work. The anger may still come back. And then all we can do is at least pray that we'll want to forgive and that eventually it'll come, if only by God's grace. There's a lovely story in the autobiography of Corrie ten Boom. During the war, Corrie ten Boom was a pastor in the Dutch church. And she and her family were sent to Ravensbrück by the Gestapo for helping Jews to get out of Holland. And after the war, she had the extraordinary experience of meeting one of the guards in Ravensbrück who had been involved in the murder of her sister Betsy. And this guard had actually sought her out in order to ask for her forgiveness for what he had done. And she describes her reaction to this man when they finally met. When he held out his hand, I, who so often had preached to people about the need to forgive, kept my hand firmly at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled in me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. So again, I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I can't forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. And as I took his hand, an incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him. While into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And that's how I discovered that it is not on our own forgiveness, any more than on our own goodness, that the world's healing hinges, but on Christ's. When he tells us to love our enemies, he can give us, along with the command, the love itself. For many people, certainly for me, forgiveness is something we know we can't do on our own. Because let's face it, loving those who have really hurt us is unnatural. It goes against every instinct we are born with. In the eyes of the world, the teaching of Jesus is pure madness. And yet we know in our hearts it's right. It's the only way we and the whole world can ever find healing and peace if we can find the strength to do it. So before you leave this church, make a start. Remember the people who you know that you really haven't forgiven. And I'll remember mine as well. And then let's ask him to do what we can't manage on our own, to put his love inside us and make us merciful as he is merciful. Amen.